It's Parshas. Anyone know what Parshas we heard this week? Parshas Nasai. Parshas Nasai is the longest Parsha in the Torah. You have to brace yourself. It's a long laning. How many psukim are there in Parshas Nasai? Kuf Ayin Vav. 176 psukim. It's the longest Parsha. How many dafim are there in Masechta Bava Basra? Kuf Ayin Vav. How many psukim are there in Mizmor Kuf Yutes? Kuf Ayin Vav. Okay, this is the big number. 176. I'm sure there's some very great significance in that number. I do not know. Maybe once upon a time I did have something to say about that, but not today. Any event, it's a long parasha, and there are many topics.
Actually, you did say something.
I did what I say? Ooh. Wow, I'm flattered. Someone remembers it. What?
22 times 8.
22 times 8 is 176. Okay, so that 22 are the letters of the Aleph base.
The letters of the Aleph
base. Multiplied by 8. Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Lamala, okay, Gevaldik. Lamala Miderech HaTeva. The number 8. It's also this Exparsha Shmini Lemiluim. This Exparsha discusses the 8th day of the Miluim. So on the 8th day, the Koyach of Torah multiplied with the synthesis of the Koyach of Torah with Hashem's Hanhoga of guarding Klal Yisrael Lemala Miderech HaTeva.
At least you want to go?
Lemala Miderech HaTeva brings us to 176. Okay, beautiful. Very, very good. Yeshu Koyach. That's not my Vart. Okay, obviously, I wouldn't be able to think of that. I can't even add one and one together. For me to figure out that 176 is divided by 22 equals 8, I would never ever figure that out. So obviously, I said it over in the name of somebody else. Okay, let's go further. Big question. Rabbi Maievsky always talks. We always talk about this question every so often. Why is it that from the three families of Levi, one family was pushed back to Parshas Bamidbar? And in this week's Parsha, we are presented with there's two brothers. In other words, Levi, in the family of Levi, there are three brothers. There is Kehos, there is Gershon, and there is Merari. Okay, three branches of this magnificent family. In Parshas Bamidbar, the last Aliyah of Parshas Bamidbar, the last Aliyah, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron leimar nosoi esroish b'nei kehos mitoich b'nei Levi l'mishpucha estam leves avosam. And the psukim there go on to enumerate, to count the number of people in the family of Kehos. And then the parsha ends. And now we begin, we have to wait 2 weeks. This year we had to wait 2 weeks until To Be Continued. When you were a child, you ever watch television? And there's a cliffhanger and it says To Be Continued. And then normally, you know, you only have to wait 1 week until they, but sometimes there was some type of a seasonal event, Super Bowl, World Series, and you have to wait 2 or 3 weeks until you can see the sequel, the conclusion of the cliffhanger. Torture. They make you wait such a long time to know what happened. So here we had to wait over here 2 weeks from the end of Parshas Nosai until we come to end of Parshas Bamidbar to Parshas Nosai to continue the count. And here we go. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe leimar Nosai esroish b'esroish b'nei Gershon gam heim. And then we go down, and then afterwards we come to B'nei Merari. What's going on? Why was it separated? Okay, so there are many answers. There are many, many answers to this question. There are many different approaches. So I'm not even really trying to answer that question. So I just maybe tangentially to point out and make a point. But there's something else I want to bring out, and this was very interesting. I came across this, that when the psukim introduce us to Kehos, it says very nice words, very choshev words, very distinguished words. Nosoi, lift up esrosh, lift up the head. So we loosely translate rosh means the tally, the number, okay, the total count. We play around with the word rosh. When it comes to Gershon, the Pasuk says something which is a little surprising. Nosoi, our parsha, Es Roish b'nei Gershon gam heim. Their second fiddle. They don't get the same honor as Kohos. Kohos is Nosoi Es Roish b'nei Kohos. There's no one in this world more important than b'nei Kohos. When it comes to Gershon, yeah, you also. Gam heim. How would you feel if someone said about you, gam heim? You wouldn't be so happy. When it comes to Merari, it's even worse. B'nei Merari. It doesn't even say Nosoi. It doesn't even give them the chashivus of Nosoi. It just says, oh, by the way, it's an afterthought of an afterthought. B'nei Merari l'mishpuchai sam l'vei sam l'vei sam l'vei sam. What's going on over here? What is going on over here? So I want to suggest the following idea, which might not be I don't know if it's correct or not, but hear me out. See what you think of this simple idea. What exactly did they do? Kohos, the mission of Kohos was to carry the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Kohos carried the oroin. They carried the shulchan. They carried the mizbeach. They carried all of the kelim of the base of the Mishkan were carried by Kohos. What did Gershon carry? The structure. They carried the krushim. They carried the ureos, the curtains. If I'm not mistaken, that what goes on top of what goes on top. Let me zois avoidas. The Urias HaMishkan, the El Moed, they carry the Krushim. It's Kali Chotzer. Who carried the Krushim? Make sure I'm not making a mistake. The Krushim were carried by, it doesn't change the word, don't worry. It doesn't make a difference. Who carried that? Bamidbar, end of Bamidbar. Give me one moment. Let me go back to Bamidbar. The end of Bamidbar, Nosoi es Kohos, okay, what the Zois Avoidas? It says here, V'chisuba, they carried Zois Avoidas, the Oroin, the Shulchan, and then the Menorah, and then the Mizbeach Azov, and the Klei Shores. That's it. What did Gershon carry? It says here the Urias Hamishkan Vies Oma Vies Mechseu, the Kali Achotzer is Mosach Pesachotzer. And Merari, what do they carry? Oh, the Krushim. The B'nai Merari, they carry the Krushim. The Krushim and the Chotzer. Okay. So today, let me ask you a question. You go today to the Kaisel HaMarav, you go today to Eretz Yisrael. What is there today? What's there today? Do you see there, when you go to the Kaisel HaMarav, do you see the Oren HaKodesh? Do you see the Shulchan? Do you see the Menorah? Do you see the Mizbeach? Nothing. Do you see today anything that was carried by Kohos from Parashas Bamidbar? Nothing. There is no zecher. There is absolutely no zecher for anything that Kohos accomplished. Kohos, in the Midbar, for 40 years, was busy. It was his mission to transport the Kalim from the desert, from the desert, all the way into Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, those Kalim made their way 440 years later, after they arrived in the desert, they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, from the time that Kohos was entrusted to carry the Kalim, 480 years later, it reached its final destination on the Har HaBayis. Is there any zecher today from what Kohos did? Nothing. Gone. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago, and before that, it was destroyed go back another 500 years, and when it was destroyed by Yisrael, not all of the Kelim made their way back into the Bayis Sheni. Came the Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron. It wasn't the same in the Bayis Sheni. So the role, the mission of Kohath today, after a long galus of 2,500 years, for 2,500 years, there's almost no zecher of what Kohath accomplished. What about the accomplishments of Gershon? Are there accomplishments around? Their accomplishments, Nasayas Roish B'nei Gershon Gamheim, what do they carry? They carried the coverings of the Mishkan. They carried the Urios HaMishkan, that's the lower level. Then there is the second covering, the Oil Moed. And then there is the Artachash. And then it says they carried also the curtains of the Chotzer, the curtains of the Chotzer, and the entranceway to the Chotzer. Are what Gershon has achieved? Is there any remnant of what Gershon has achieved? Nothing. Because first of all, most of what they carry doesn't even exist anymore. It was retired. Basically, I think everything that Gershon carried doesn't exist anymore. Gershon carried the four layers of coverings that were on top of the Mishkan. But guess what? Once we came into the Eretz Yisrael, we built a Beis HaMikdash, there are no longer four layers of material covering this surface area. The Mishkan was replaced by a Mikdash, and the Mikdash has a real ceiling made from wood, stone, and cement. Had two floors, and there's a very elaborate section of Mishnayos describing in detail what it looked like. And everything that Moshe Rabbeinu made, all of these coverings, are gone. They're all gone. And what about the curtains that surrounded the curtains? The curtains basically was the Azara. That's pretty much what the curtain served as, the Azara that surrounded the area. Well, today there's no curtains. The curtains turned into walls. But guess what? If you go to the Har Habayis, there's no Azara anymore. In the last 2,000 years of Golis, almost 2,000 years of Golis, the walls of the Azara have been demolished. And it's just a big open area called the Har Habayis. And there's no mark of even where the walls of the Azara once stood. That's the big debate. Can you go today to the Har Habayis? And if you do go to the Har Habayis, exactly where are you allowed to travel? Because you have to be very careful you don't come into the area of where the Azara used to be. And the walls of the Azara are equivalent to the curtains that were carried by Gershon. So they're not really around either. But yet, even though they're not around, at least we can somehow, to a degree, locate where are the walls of the Azara. We try to give a rough estimate of where are the walls of the Azara, so that if we do go on the Har Habayis, we should be careful not to go in that vicinity. Now we come to Merari. Merari, what did he carry? Merari v'zois mishmeresh ma'asam l'chol avoy d'asam b'almoyed. He carried the krushim. He carried the actual structure. The krushim, the amudim, the adonim, the pillars of the chotzer. The actual, not the curtains. See, the curtains at least represent the walls, the area. These are the actual objects. None of this exists anymore whatsoever, because the Mishkan was replaced by the Mikdash, and these items don't exist anymore. The krushim don't exist. We had walls of stone. The dimensions don't exist. All of the items don't exist at all. So here's the point I'm trying to make. What these individuals carried from the three, which one of them has, is there more of a zecher in our mind today? Is there more of a zecher than the others? Let's review. Kohos carried the kalim. That was it. Gershon carried the coverings and the curtain that marked off where the Azara is. Merari, they carried the krushim. They carried the actual objects of the Mishkan itself. From the three of them, which one of them remains with us the most today? And the answer is very obvious. It is Kohos. Physically, none of these things are here today. Yet, which one is the most relevant for us today in Galus? What's relevant for us today in Galus is the Shulchan, is the Aron, is the Menorah, is the Mizbeach. You know why these things are relevant? Because this is service. These are things which we do every single day. Every single day we daven. Our davening today is equivalent to bringing a korban on the Mizbeach. When a person does a good deed, a chesed, he brings Hashem nachas ruach, that's equivalent to being makdir the ketores. When a person learns Torah, it's equivalent to lighting the menorah. Now, the objects don't exist anymore, but what the objects represent, it represents something that every single one of us relates to, connects to on a daily basis. When it comes to Merari, and when it comes to Gershon, their mission was to build a building, was to build a structure. The structure no longer exists. The building is no longer here. Each one, okay, I'm not really coming to explain now the difference between Merari and Gershon. There is a difference because, as I started, Gershon is called Gamhein. He's second fiddle. Merari is non-existent. B'nei Merari. Okay, so there's a difference between those two, but let's not now at this moment try to understand.
Rabbi Levine, yeah. Excuse me. I think last year, Rabbi Levine, you mentioned from the Chassam Sofer on this, that Merari is Rosh Amar, which has to do with Golus, a bit of Golus. So that there is a closer Shaychus to Merari nowadays than...
Because we are in Golus. But Golus is not an ideal. Golus is not the goal. The goal is not Golus. The goal, when we want to emphasize the chashivas of these three families, the one that is given the limelight is Kohos. And Kohos, in fact, is put in Parshas Bamidbar. We even separate him by 2 weeks. We put him in Parshas Bamidbar, and we separate him from his two brothers that are put in Parshas Nosai. Why? The answer is because what was the role of Kohos? The role of Kohos was to transport the kalim. What was the role of Merari and Gershon? To transport the building. What is important in life? To have a nice building or to serve Hashem? We have been out of the building for already 2-3 months. We've been out of our buildings. All the beautiful buildings that
you could say, that the fact of the matter is that we have the Kosel Marabi, which is a binyan, and that is the only thing that we see, which is
related. The Kosel is not a binyan. The Kosel is the wall of the Har Habayis. The Kosel Marabi is just a teeny fragment of the Kosel of the Har Habayis. It's not even the Azora, and it's certainly not. It's not the Mokum of the Hashura Sashrina. It's not the Ulam. The Shrina rested in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was in the Heichel, which was outside the Kodesh, and then was the Ulam, and then around that was the Azara, and then outside of that is the Harabayas. So we have a remnant of just of a makom. None of the things that are described over here are referring to the Har HaBayis. The most that we have here by these three families is the walls of the Azara. The Chotzer is the Azara. There is no Azara today. The Azara today is gone. There's no Zecher of the Azara. We don't even know where exactly the walls of the Azara stood. We fight about it the whole day. Where is the Azara? You can't go on the Har HaBayis because you might go stepping in the area of the Azara. No, I know where the Azara is. What do you mean? I know where the Azara is. The Azara cannot be in this location. I'm safe. Okay, if you think you're safe, good for you. This one is not so excited. He's not safe, whatever it is. There is no Azara today. What they carried here was the walls of the Azara, or the actual binyan, the Hechel itself, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. None of that today exists. None of that. But the Kalim also don't exist. But there's a very big difference. Even though the Kalim don't exist, that's how we live.
What about the Kalim underneath the Vatican? They say
that. No, but that's not relevant. That's not relevant. First of all, who says there are Kalim in the Vatican? And that's not relevant because they're not in use. They're not in use. They're not functioning. They're not in front of us. Today, do we have a real Beis HaMikdash? No, we don't. Today, do we live with this? Do we serve Hashem with the same exact service that is captured in the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash in our daily lives? Absolutely. Every time you learn a word of Torah, you're lighting the menorah. Every time you daven, you're bringing a carbon on the mizbeach. Every time you do a mitzvah, you give Hashem nachas truach, it's like you're bringing ketores on the mizbeach hazav. The kalim represent service. The building is a building. It's a building. Marshal Mahadavidome. These last few months, all of the buildings have been shut down. You know how much these buildings cost? You know how much money was invested to build these shuls? Millions and millions of dollars. Labor, people, sleepless nights, sweat, blood went in to build all of these structures. And the last 2 or 3 months, closed. The doors are locked. Freezing cold. I was here in the winter, the end over here. I sit with my coat here. Rabbi Shulman was very kind. He gave me permission to come here because I had nowhere else to go. Homeless. And he very reluctantly, after begging him to let me come in this back room over here, he let me come over here. It's very depressing. It's freezing cold, dark, nothing, total nothing. But yet, come here, I turn on the computer, and who do I see? I see you all. I see lighting the menorah. You sit and learn Torah every day. We learn Torah together. You light the menorah. So the menorah is alive and well. The Shulchan upon him. Do you know how much chesed was done in this last 3 months? More chesed was done this last 3 months than probably decades. Decades. How much chesed was condensed into these last 3 months. The amount of money people spent. The amount of chassadin, the telephone lines of Bikur Cholim. And it's off not to be believed. What is it's lechem upon him? Give me los chasadim. So the shulchan was alive and well, but the building? There's no building. What building? No one comes to. Building is a place you come together. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So let me ask from the three people over here who carried the Mishkan and everything that it represents, which one is still relevant today? Nasoi es roish. B'nei Kahas carried the Kalim. Gershon of our parasha and Merari, they're good guys. We'll give them a gold medal. But Gam, second fiddle. B'nei Merari, because it's not the building that counts. What counts is the service, is the avoida that's done in the building. We have to make this point in such a dramatic way that we have to separate these families. We have to put a hard break between the family of Kehos and Parshas Bamidbar, leading up to Matan Torah. And now we can talk about nice buildings. Nice buildings are not the same thing as doing Avodas Hashem. Now, there used to be years ago, I told you this many times, two major institutions that would compete in the newspaper for students. They would advertise. And one institution would always show their buildings. They would advertise, come, join us, send your son to our school, join us. And they would always put a picture of a beautiful building. And the other institution would show a student with a big smile on his face. Sometimes they would show the student learning a Daf Gemara. Sometimes they would show a student in the laboratory in a white coat. They would show one student with a big smile on his face. Now, if you were in charge of marketing, which company would you hire? The company that's presenting the audience beautiful state-of-the-art building, or the company that is presenting, doing your graphics, is presenting as a marketing technique, a student of your institution? The answer is pretty obvious, the student, because that's what it's all about. It's not about the building, it's about the student. We have over here one family. This one family has three divisions. When we're coming to highlight which branch of the family has endured, whose legacy carries on every day of our lives, it's Kehos. Last week, Parashas Bamidbar. And that's why Kehos gets all the covet. It says about Kehos, Nasoi, lift him up, Esroish, his head, the tali. It doesn't say Gam. He's not a second fiddle man. It doesn't just say B'nai Merari. And we separate, we go to such an extreme to break up the family, Hayluchud v'Hayluchud, to remind us, life is about service. It's not about things. It's not about shiny objects, beautiful buildings, fancy cars. It's about service, to serve Hashem. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha, Birchas Koyhanim. Unbelievable. Okay, this is where it's all at. We spent the whole week on this. Birchas Koyhanim, the laws of Birchas Koyhanim, Yivrech Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yer Hashem, Panav Elech, Yivrech Yisrael Hashem, Panav Elech, Yisrael Hashem, Panav Elech, Yisrael Hashem. What's Birchas Koyhanim doing in the middle of this parasha? What is it doing here? Why here? Why not in Chumash Vayikra, where we focus on the role of the Koyhanim? This is not, it should be in Parashas Emor. Emor El HaKoyhanim B'nei Aaron, where the Torah delineates, goes into detail about all the laws of the Koyhanim. That's where it belongs. What's it doing here in Parashas Bamidbar? Well, in Parashas Nasa, what's going on? So I want to say a very simple idea, something very, very pashut. Before the Torah opens up with the words, out of nowhere, like mamish, out of nowhere, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, middle of nowhere, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, Daber el Aroin v'el Bonov l'emor, Koy Sivaruchu es b'nei Yishol, Omor lohem. Oh, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Out of nowhere. Just finished the parsha of Nazir, and now Birchas Koyhanim. Wait a minute. Why, when, where, how did that happen? Very simple. Very simple part. Before Birchas Koyhanim is, which aliyah is it in? It's the middle of the parasha. Middle of Revi. The Torah goes into very great detail, describes three averos that a person can do. Torah is very, we have three averos. So we start the parasha about, we finish up some of the old business. We talk about the calculation of the numbers of Gerush and Emerari. And then we talk about the people that have to be sent Michutz LaMachaneh. all of the machanos. That's, you know, that's really part of last week's parasha. That's really just the finish. That's loose ends. The machanos, we have all of the memories of Klal Yisrael, the masois, how they traveled, the golem and the machanos, who can be in which machanem. It, when it talks about the machanos, it does not say that someone did an avera. It just states as a matter of fact that if a person is tamei, then you got to go outside. If you're a metzora, it doesn't say that he committed the sin and he became a metzora. Just telling you who goes where. Musical chairs. Where do you belong? Where is your makam? It's clearly a continuation of Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar describes the masois, the degolim. It puts everyone in their place and it counts every member of Klal Yisrael in their role, in their mission. And then it's just natural when we finish counting the whole Klal Yisrael and we finish counting Bnei Levi and we tell them what they do in their makam, and we have now pretty much defined everyone's location. We just finish up. And by the way, that even though you're part of this Shevet and you belong there, but if you're Tami, you're a Mitzayra, or what was the third thing? A Mitzayra or a Zav. Then, by the way, temporarily, you're not allowed to be at home. You have to go into quarantine. You have to be sheltered. You have to go to a quarantine hotel until everything is the green light is there. You can come back home. Then the Torah begins. Let's talk. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's talk about people who do averos. And the Torah tells us about three types of people who do averos. The first person that the Torah talks about who does an avera after we finish business is a person who swears falsely. A person who steals money, a ganof. Go to your friend, you loot Gucci store. You go in there, you break in there with a crowbar, and you steal everything in the store. You go steal the Apple, the Microsoft store, the Apple store, v'chulu. You break open the ATM machine, you put all the money, and then they apprehend you. You ganof. Don't you know we're tracking everything with GPS, you fool? You think you're going to steal an iPhone? We know where you are. The iPhone is taking pictures of you as you're talking. And the person says, I swear I didn't steal it. I didn't touch it. I didn't steal it. You've done a terrible avera. You've taken Hashem's name and you've sworn falsely. So the pasuk says, if you're guilty of such a terrible avera, Daber el bnei Yisrael isha isha kiyasu, if they do, mikol chatois ha'adam limol mahal b'Hashem, to commit a transgression, the oshmo hanefesh ahi. This is pretty serious stuff. The way the Torah describes the sin is with pretty serious expressions. Very heavy, heavy, heavy guilt is being laid upon this individual. And then it says what he does, he has to confess, and he has to go through all of the rules, all of the motions, v'chulu v'chulu. Bring a carbon osham, he has to confess, he has to return the principal, he has to also give a fifth, fine. Okay, done with that. Next parasha. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamart aleihem. Oh, there's another sinner here. You know what the next sinner on the list is? A woman, or really not only a woman, if a man. Part of the parasha of Saita is also if a man is unfaithful to his wife. That's also nichlal in the parasha of Saita. Ish, ki siste ishtoi umo'ala v'mo'al. A woman commits a transgression and is unfaithful to her husband. She acts treacherously against her husband. Okay? Long parasha of Saita, what happens, all the rules, and he takes her to the Beis HaMikdash, he exposes her hair, exposes her body, she drinks the Mayim HaMa'orim, and if she's guilty, she will die, a miracle will happen, her thigh, her stomach will explode, will fall out. Okay, fine, we go to the whole parasha. And then we come to sinner number three. Who is sinner number three? Moving ahead in the parasha, got one more guy for you. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, V'yamarta Lehem, Ish O Isha Ki Yafli, Lindor Neder Nozir Lehazir LaHashem. He sounds like a good guy, right? He's a Nozir, a good guy. But the problem is, when the parasha is over, when you come to the end of the parasha, it says, he brings a carbon chatos. Zois Tairas Hanozia Shayidor Carbona La Hashem al Nizroi Mulvada Shatasageda Kifinidra Shayidor. Okay, the Pasuk calls the Nozir a sinner. Pasuk explicitly calls him a sinner. He brings on the conclusion of his Nazirus. The Zois Tairas Hanozir Biyom Yimulois Yimei Nizroi Yavi Oisoi. He shall bring himself. Chazal say he has to bring himself, means he's a sinner. V'hikreves korban l'Hashem, he brings keves. V'chavs achas b'ashnasa t'nima l'chatos. Achatos? What did he do? If Hashem gave you an opportunity to enjoy this world, why are you denying the bracha that Hashem gave to you? Okay, v'ayach tamim. And it goes on, v'hikriv v'os es chatosoi v'es oloisoi. There are more diyukim. Rashi discusses this. The Nazir is a sinner. He denied himself the good of this world. Three balei avera. A person who steals from another man and swears falsely that I don't have your money. Sinner number two, a woman who is unfaithful to her husband, and by extension, a husband who is unfaithful to his wife. Sinner number three, a person who, I have to nuance this, he sins against himself or against Hashem. Hashem put him in this world to enjoy this world, and he says to Hashem, no thank you. You throw away Hashem's bracha. It's a double sin. You're sinning against Hashem and you're sinning against yourself. Three sinners. They're very different. The first sinner is purely a
isn't
sinner.
It four?
What for?
Isn't it four sins?
What four sins? What four?
Swear falsely, steal, soak their nose here.
Swear falsely is stealing. That's all of this. It's one parasha. The parasha is a person steals. He's apprehended, he's caught. And they say to him, did you steal money? And he says, I swear by Hashem's name that I did not steal. And then he admits later on that he lied, that he swore falsely. It's one sinner. The Pasuk calls him, we're calling him, it's one parsha. It's one parsha. A man, there are certain conditions that must be met. A human being comes along, he steals, he's caught, he denies that he's questioned, and he makes a shul that I did not steal, and then he admits that he has sworn falsely. So what in essence has he done? How did this whole thing come about? He has committed a crime against his fellow man. He stole money from his fellow man, he harmed his fellow man, and he used Hashem as an excuse not to pay him back. So the primary sin was he committed a crime against a fellow man. The second sin is a sin of relationships, husband-wife, infidelity. Whole different type of ball game. First is Adam l'chaveroi. The second sin is Ben Ish l'ishtoi. And the third sin is Ben Adam l'atzmai. You all messed up. Person, Hashem gives you blessing. So enjoy. If you have a good steak, enjoy it. Make a bracha. What are you denying yourself the pleasures of this world? You're a sinner. Chazal say, a nazir is a choyte. He denied himself the pleasures of this world. He may be a choyte l'shem shamayim. He needs to do this in order to discipline himself. But the bottom line is, he's a choyte. He denied himself blessing that Hashem has given. Chazal, Rashi says this over and over here on the parasha. He sinned against himself. Three different types of chatoim. A man who commits a crime against his friend, a man who is unfaithful to his spouse, and a man who commits a crime against himself. And all of these three have in common that he uses the Ribbono Shel Olam as an excuse to commit these sins. When he steals against his friend, you know how he wiggles out of it? I swear by Hashem's name. A woman, she goes and she's unfaithful. I'll get away with it. We'll take Hashem's name. We'll erase it. And she'll drink it. Yeah, she'll get away with it. She can have her fun. Nothing's going to happen to her. And who's the third sinner? A person who says, no, I don't want. I'm not going to enjoy this world. Why not? Hashem wants you to enjoy this world. What do you want? L'shem Shemayim.
You get a man who's unfaithful to drink the water.
The man, the test doesn't work. It just means the Gemara talks about that the test will only work if the man is also faithful to his wife. If the man is not faithful to his wife, then the test on his wife is not going to work. That's all. It's all nichlal in the same parasha. But the point I'm trying to make here is the introduction to parashas, to the parasha of Birchas Kohanim, are the Torah presents three sinners. Three individuals who commit horrible crimes. A man commits a crime against his fellow man. What's wrong, Ramachal? What's wrong?
Nothing is wrong, but if you take the initials of stealing, infidelity, and nazir, you know what you get?
S-I-N. Sin. Sin. S-I-N, stealing, infidelity, and nazir spell sin. We'll never forget this one. Sin. We present here three sinners, three people who have commit crimes, and all of them are wrapped up in the name of God. You sin against your friend, and you know you get away with it? I get away with it because I swear in Hashem's name. A woman is unfaithful. She gets away with it. She drinks the Ne'am O'arim and she hopes for the best. She hopes for the best that she knows her husband is just as unfaithful as her. So she knows that the water is not going to have any effect on her. And the third example is the Nazir. Oh, holy man. Kadosh, yeah. That's the real worst. That's the worst. A Kadosh. You're a Chayte. All wrapped up in self-righteousness. And the Torah tells us very clearly how to deal with these people. And the Torah is pretty harsh. The Torah is not, it's not fun. These people do not have a very easy end. Okay, the Nazir has to bring korbanos, has to shave off his hair, is a long process. The Nazir doesn't get away so easy. And the Saita, who knows, she can die. And the one who stole money, he has to pay the principal plus an additional fifth and bring a carbon and confess. The Torah lays down a heavy hand on these three sinners. The Torah is not here to make life difficult for you. And whenever the Torah is going to go down hard, lay down the law, it's always going to compensate with blessing. That's the derech of the Torah. Ze l'uma ze bara Elokim. Hashem is saying, listen here, I just presented you with a dugma of all of the chatoy a man can commit. In this world, take all of the sins you can commit, breaking up the three categories. You can be a nasty person to your friend. That's one category. And then you can be nasty to your spouse, to your family. Okay, that's a whole different category. We know that there are some people that are wicked to the world, but to their family? Whoo! They're a pussycat. And then we know people that can't get along with their relatives, with their spouse, their children, but to the world, they're Superman. They save the world, but their family hates them. And then there are people that are good to the world, they're good to their family, but they're rotten to themselves. They deny themselves what they rightfully deserve. They deny themselves. They're not good to themselves. They do not know how to take care of themselves. You have to protect yourself in life. It's also a sin if you're not good to yourself. You don't protect yourself. So what's the bottom line? Three sinners. And the Torah tells us how to punish, okay, that's a harsh word, how to punish these three sinners. But then the Torah says, Klal Yisrael, I'm not here to make life difficult for you, to punish you. Let me compensate for the punishment that I'm bringing down on these three categories of sinners. Let me give you bracha that you should never sin to begin with. And that is Birkas Kohanim. There are three sections of Birkas Kohanim. The first is Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. You know what that bracha is? Look at all the Mefarshim. Material blessing. Gashmius. You have a nice car, a nice house, a good job, money in the bank, a good retirement plan, plenty of money. Money is not an issue in life. You know, if money is not an issue in life, you know that's an infinite bracha. That's a bracha beyond words. When not every decision you make in life is about money, it's horrific. You know, Eretz Yisrael, you see that a lot. Eretz Yisrael, they don't have the social programs they have in America. They don't have the safety nets. They don't have the pension plans, and it's very painful. People in Eretz Yisrael, the decisions they make are very different. Their minds are really, the life weighs down on them. It's very, very sad. Hashem says, I'm going to give you material blessing. You won't have to steal from someone else. You won't have the nisoyin of stealing from someone else and then have to swear, I didn't do anything wrong. I swear in Hashem's name I didn't steal from you. You liar. You stole. You swore in Hashem's name. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to give you a bracha. Yivorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Material blessing. Hashem will guard your wealth. You'll have more than you need. You'll have nothing to worry about. You won't even have the nisoyon of stealing and swearing in Hashem's name. Now, what about the second sinner of the parasha? Infidelity. What is infidelity all about? When you don't get along with one another, where's the chayin? What is chayin? Why does a man marry a woman, this woman and not that woman? Someone goes on a lot of dates. Why her, not that one? Because this woman has chayin, ki motza v'noyach, motza chayin be'enei Hashem. The most important elementary ingredient in any marriage is the chayin the isha finds in her husband. So Chazal's words are the chayin that a wife finds in the mind of her husband, and likewise the chayin that a woman, the chayin that a man finds in the eyes of his wife. You have a problem in the house, infidelity, disloyalty. Let me give you a bracha. It should never happen. Yoher Hashem ponov elecha vichuneka. Vichuneka means I will give you chayin. When there's chayin between you and your wife in the home, everything is good. You'll never come to the parasha of Saita. And then we come to the last parasha. What's the last parasha? A nazir. A nazir is a sinner. He has committed a crime against himself. He has denied himself from the good, the yayin. The yayin is just a mushel. It's a mushel for the delicacies, for the blessing of this world. When a person is depressed, person doesn't have a healthy outlook on life, and he denies himself from blessing, it's wrong. Hashem says, Yiso Hashem ponav elecha v'yoseim lecha shalom. I will give you shleimus. When a person is depressed, what does a person deny himself from bracha? He's depressed. He considers himself lacking. There's a lack of personal shleimus, the shleimus hanefesh. You don't feel your shalom. There's something wrong. It bothers you. It destroys you. I'll make you a happy person. You'll be shalem. When you're shalem, you'll enjoy this world. So I'm trying to suggest here that it's not out of nowhere. Because think about it, what in the world is this parsha doing here? Such an awesome parsha, Birkas Kohanim, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, literally, in Parshas Bamidbar, Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Nasai, there's no person here in this virtual meeting. If you were given the task to inject Birkas Kohanim, would put it in this position. No one. If you did not have in the Torah Birkas Kohanim and you were given the assignment, okay, here it is. You have a choice. You can put it, you can inject it in any parsha you want, wherever you want. It would be very funny, actually, to see where people would put it. Go take a class of high school students and give them this assignment. Make believe parshas, the parsha of Birkas Kohanim is not in the Torah, and now Hashem has come to you and told you to put it in the Torah. You put it wherever you want. Where would you put it? I don't think anybody would put it over here. So what's it doing over here? Obviously, Hashem knows better. And force us to understand, well, what did Hashem say before he gave us Birkas Kohanim? Well, before, right before, it spoke about three sinners. The one who sins, Kimola Molba Hashem, they're pretty harsh words, describing a sin of stealing and swearing falsely. The second sinner, infidelity, sin against your spouse. The third sinner, Nazir, who Chazal clearly, beyond this, without any hesitation, Rashi as well, here says it over and over, he's a choite, he's a sinner, because he denied himself the blessing of this world, but he did it l'shem shemayim, because sometimes the person's Yetzirah is so powerful, if you don't discipline yourself by denying yourself pleasure in this world, you'll be swallowed up alive. So you have to do it. So you have to sometimes, you have to attack a sin, sometimes for the greater good, to prepare for the future. But you're still called a choite, and that's why you bring a carbon chatos. That's why you bring carbon chatos. And that's why the Torah says, yavi es atzma, yavi, so bring yourself, bring your own neshama to Hashem, to recognize that you needed to do this because there's a deficiency. After Hashem tells us about these three people who are deficient in their averois, the three categories of sin, ben adam lachaveroi, ben ish leishtoi, ben adam laatzmoi, the Torah then says, I'm not here to make it hard for you. I'm telling you how to deal with it. But my parting words to you are, let me bless you. Let me give you, my holy nation, a bracha that you should never come to this. We should need to deal with this. As far as ben adam lachaveroi, you should have parnasa. There should be no nisyonos to steal and to swear falsely. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. As far as infidelity, you should have chen in the eyes of each other. Yoher Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. He should fill you up with chen. The wife should have chen in the eyes of the husband. The husband should have chen in the eyes of the wife. And as far as depression and denying yourself from all the blessing of this world, you should have peace, inner peace. Yisro Hashem panav elecha, v'yasem l'cha shalom. This is the message. Kirabosai, it's getting late. I want to wind down with one last thought. There are a lot of other things I want to discuss, but we're out of time. And I just want to mention one last thing. I want to mention something from the Haftarah. The Haftarah this week is a very powerful Haftarah. It's one of the most popular Haftarahs in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the story of Manoach. His wife was in Akara, and the wife comes to him, and the Malach comes, and the Malach says to his wife, you can have a child, and the child, you should be a Nazir. Okay, the Pshutai Shal Mikra, the reason why this Haftarah is presented here in Parsha Shoftim, it's very rare, we learn Shoftim. Shuls who buy parchment for the Haftarah, the last thing they buy is, not Shoftim, Yoshua. But Shoftim is also very rare. There are not too many Haftarahs from Shoftim. So they buy, the first thing they'll buy is Yeshaya. Then they buy, I think, Yirmiyah. I think it's Yirmiyah, I don't remember. Last on the list is Yeshua Shoftim. Because there aren't too many Haftarahs. We learn over here from Shoftim today, from Shoftim. And Shoftim, we learn about Manoach, and the Malach says, you're going to have a child, and he should be a Nazir. He should be a Nazir. Okay, we know the whole story. Manoach says, let the Malach come back. I want to hear it directly from him. V'chulu, v'chulu. The Malach comes, And Manoach wants to give him a gift. The Malach says, what are you giving me, a gift? I'm a Malach, you don't give me gifts. And they bring a carbon, and it says here some very powerful words. It says here that there was a fire, there was a massive fire that went up. The Malach went up in this fire to Shemayim. They saw this mare of the fire. The Malach ascended to Shemayim on the Mizbeach. And they fell down. And now comes the pasuk I want to dwell upon. We're going to die. We saw something that is so frightening, we cannot go on. Mois nomos, ki Elokim ro'inu. We saw the Yad Hashem. We saw something that is so frightening. The Eish min Hashemayim, and on the Mizbeach, the Malach went to Shemayim. We're going to die. Vatoymer lo yishtoy. Luchofetz Hashem la'am yiseinu. If Hashem really wanted that we should die, Hashem doesn't want us to die. Hashem showed this to us for a reason, to learn something from and to go forward and to live and to accomplish. Hashem doesn't want us to die. He wants us to use this as a tool to move forward. Rabbi Sai, it's been already about 14, 15 weeks since we've been in quarantine, since the horror of what has happened to the world has come down upon us with an iron hand. Okay, over 350,000 people have died in the last 14 weeks in the world. In America, over 100,000 people. Half live a fella in America, here on homeland. Amongst Achenu B'nai Yisrael, who knows how many died? Who knows? Over 1,000? Some will tell you it's much more than that. I don't know. I don't know the calculation, but it's over 1,000 of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. The average person who died from corona lost 13 years from his life, from his life expectancy. Okay? And this has been going on for how long? Since Purim, before Purim? Yesterday. Did you read the news yesterday? I know it's not true what I'm telling you, and they'll revise it, but just the fact that they can even say this is a reason for us to say Hallel. Yesterday in New York City, the hotbed of Corona, there was not one person who died on the books from Corona. Okay, there are two people that are suspected, but there are no, there was yesterday for the first time, the first time in this period, we're on record, there was not one person that died, that was confirmed to have died from Corona, COVID-19. It's a miracle. And we're here to talk about it. We're here to talk about it. Baruch Hashem, everyone here is healthy. We have a very great duty to give Hashem our Karas HaTov that we've reached this point. It's not over yet. We know that, not living in fantasy world, we know that many people still cannot come to shul, cannot leave the house. We don't know what's going to be next year. We don't know what's happening now. But cannot deny the fact that the news that not even one person yesterday can be confirmed to have died in New York City from corona, this is an incredible simcha. I know they'll probably by now revise someone did die, and probably people are going to continue to die, but at least we have a very great achrayis to give shevach v'hoida to Hashem, to at least reaching this moment. But what is the average, the common response, even though we've reached this moment in time? It's like the wife. It's like monoyach. The average person, their impulse is to say. Their impulse is to say what monoyach said. Vayom monoyach al ishtoi. So what? So what? We've reached this moment. Mois namos. We're gonna die anyway. Ki elokim roinu. How can we go forward? We've witnessed, we've seen horror. We've seen incredible tsar, incredible horror. So what? So what? The Malach now goes to Shemayim, it's over, he runs away, it's over. We're paralyzed, we're crippled. We can't go forward. Ki mois namos, ki elokim ra'inu. The horror of what we've seen is so intense, is so great. I can't live anymore in a regular way. We can't function as normal people anymore. Everything is going to be different. The whole world is a different world. And to that, his wife says, and this is the Hashkocha Pratis, that we read these words this Shabbos, 2 days after we've come to a moment in time where in New York City, not one person died from corona. The message is Vatoimer lo ishtoi. Luchofeitz Hashem lami seinu. Like lokach mi odenu olu minchov lo heronu as called zois. Uche es lo yishmi anu kozois. Hashem doesn't want you to die. Hashem allowed you to survive, to learn from the experience, to grow from the experience, to become a better person, and to move forward. Hashem is not here to destroy you. Hashem showed you horror. Ki elokim ra'inu. It's true. But the fact that you're a survivor means Hashem has faith in you that you can take something positive out of this, some lesson, some musar, and use it as a springboard to go further and grow, blossom, develop, and participate in making this world into a much, much better and safer place. That's the message of Manoach's wife, what she said to her husband. It is extremely relevant to Inyani Diyoima, current events. We have a duty to give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem. We have a duty to be Mispalel, that things should continue to proceed in a good way, in a way where we are safe, secure, and we rebound, the economy comes back, and there's no danger in the future. But we also cannot forget what we have seen and use it as a means to grow. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Enjoy the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. Enjoy the brachas of the parasha of Manoach v'Ishtoi. And we should be zoichet to Simchos, Yeshuos, Nechamos. And everyone should have Arichas, Yomim, V'Shonim, Nachas, Nehoira Ma'alya, V'Chol Mile Demetav. Good Shabbos.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. To everyone.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Shabbos. Dr. Fruchter, it's good to see you. Dr. Fruchter, it's good to see your image. Good Shabbos, Mr. Glatter. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Thank you, everyone.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
So you learn, pay attention to your wife. You learn as an example from Mrs. Manoach.
That's right. Correct.
When I see the angel, I get scared.
Oh. Okay, right. Have a great...
I see the angel every day. I see the angel.
You see the angel? That's you sure right. You're seeing an angel? Did you sure it's not the Satan?
Okay.
Okay, have a great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Oh, that's right. Running with Simcha. Yeah, that's Chanukah. Chanukah after.
I think the Mefarshim would say that she was greater than Manoach. How come we don't mention her name?
How come we don't what? How come we don't know her name? My name. Good question. Good question.
I'm sure this is a you do a question.
It must be. It's right, it doesn't.
Because she was a Malach, and you don't mention the names of Malachim.
All right. Mayor, how's Tamari doing?
Okay, so Rabbi Levine, another question I have is on last week's Parsha Bamidbar. I noticed just really today, the Parsha ends Vomesu. That's kind of scary.
Yes, it is. That was last week's parasha. That's the big question. Why? How are you end off with the davara of Amesu? Okay, so the question is better than any answer. One, the simple answer is that it's not telling you that someone died. It's a warning. It's a warning. Don't misbehave so that you should not die. It's telling you really the pasuk means do not die. The word is not a nice word. You would not expect that the parasha should end. I told you the question is better than the answer. But what does the pasuk really say? It's saying is, don't do the wrong thing so that you should not die. Okay, so that's it's not, whatever. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Are you referring to Loivala psychologist Mason?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's what he's referring
to. Last week's parasha, parasha Bamidbar.
It's after 120 when the hour is on the first before the...
Wait, Ezra.
What?
Talk into the microphone? Yeah.
Okay. So
you're moving it around.
Okay, so saying that the minute is by after 120 before a person is put into the...
Rabbi Levine?
That pasuk is said.
Before a person, what? Before a person is put into the Aron by the Chevra Kadisha?
Yes, by Tahara.
They say that pasuk. Interesting.
So that that's
the
last
one. Wow. Spooky.
Oh, wow.
Now,
what does it mean when you're saying it at that point?
I don't know.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, Mr. Glatter.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, I'm listening. Yes.
You're listening. Do you remember you did something on introductions?
Yes.
I have a sefer Otsa Dinim in Hagim by Eisenstein.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the sefer?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Published in 1917. Do you have the sefer?
What does it say? What do you refer?
He has a whole bunch of svarim. He was a malakim.
Otsa Dinim published in 1917.
Yeah.
Read the last paragraph in the introduction.
What does it say there?
It gives all the hope to the revolution and the revolution in Russia that will be an era of freedom.
Wow.
I think he made a mistake. But interesting thing.
1918 was World War One. Yeah, only 50 million people died.
Okay. Just showing off a little.
No. How's your wife doing? How is she?
Okay, have a great Shabbos.
Okay,
regards to your wife, Mr. Glider.
Zagazin.
Zagazin.
It's going to rain tonight, right?
It is? Tomorrow.